Well, an Australian lawyer is being recognised for her efforts in bringing together human rights activists and big technology companies to fight government surveillance laws. Last year, this unusual alliance campaigned against the federal government's plan to compel tech and telcos to hand over encrypted user information. The campaign has lost, and the Assistance and Access, or Anti-Encryption Bill, was passed on the last sitting day before Christmas. But the group now says that last week's media raids by the Australian Federal Police will fuel their ongoing fight. Lizzie O'Shea is a board member for Digital Rights Watch. She'll be presented with a Human Rights Hero Award at RightsCon, which is an annual global digital human rights conference in Tunisia later today. Lizzie O'Shea, welcome to Breakfast and congratulations.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me on.
The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, will be presenting you with this award. What does it mean to you getting an award like this?
I mean, I'm really proud to receive it, obviously, and it's great that there are awards that recognise grassroots activists' work like this. And I think, though, it's also very much a team effort, this campaign, so it's about also acknowledging other campaigners that I worked with on this. What I think it signifies is that the world is watching what's happening in Australia. The encryption laws that were passed at the end of last year have caused huge amounts of concern around the world amongst digital rights activists, and that's because people feel where Australia goes, their governments may follow, and that this may be the new standard, that encryption will be weakened around the world to serve the interests of national security agencies at the expense of people's rights and people's digital security.
Okay.
And so they're very worried about what's happening.
Sure. Lizzie, the phone's coming in and out. That could just be Tunisia, or if you're moving around, I'm not sure. Let's see how we go. I'll come to that about, you know, Australia being a vanguard in a sense on this, though not necessarily one that you'd be cheering on. But let's backtrack for a second. Can you remind us about the anti-encryption laws, what they do and why you're worried about them?
In the dying days of the last parliament before Christmas, a bill was passed which gives national security agencies tools to break encryption. They can ask companies to build technology to help them circumvent encryption and insert weaknesses into their systems so that they can access information for their own investigations. And this can happen without a warrant, and it's subject to secrecy provisions which prevent people talking about it on pains of imprisonment or hefty fines. So these are very aggressive laws. They're virtually unprecedented amongst Western nations. It wouldn't be possible in the United States because they have a Bill of Rights. It was tried in the United Kingdom, but there's various practical limitations upon it. Australia is a testing ground for this because we don't have a Bill of Rights, and we're an enthusiastic participant in the Five Eyes Intelligence Sharing Alliance. And for those reasons, that's why these laws were introduced in Australia and are being tested for, I think, potential use around the world.
All right. I'll come back to that. But just in terms of whether or not we need these changes, I mean, the law enforcement agencies and the intelligence agencies were arguing that they needed to intercept WhatsApp messages from terrorists and child sex offenders and other serious criminals. But someone else, a member of your group, I think, said it's equivalent of blowing up the post office to get a letter. What is the point of, or what is your concern in terms of, you know, these anti-encryption laws, if they're only going to be used for terrorists, child sex offenders and other serious criminals? How will they impact on my life, regular lives? Why do we need encryption?
The problem is you can introduce weaknesses into encrypted systems for one purpose, and it might be a legitimate purpose, but then that weakness can be used for any purpose. And the reason that's relevant is we use encryption all the time. Everyday people, when they go about their business using the internet, whether that's shopping online, using banking, they might rely on a health system that keeps records online that are protected by encryption. Mm-hmm. They might use the electricity grid, which is protected by encryption as well. So all these systems rely on encryption as a form of protection against state-sponsored hacking or criminal activity. Encryption is not a problem when it comes to criminality necessarily. It can actually be a protection against it. And if we introduce weaknesses into those systems, we put all those systems at risk. So law enforcement has a job to do. I acknowledge that. But we need to think carefully about the kind of risks we expose ourselves to if we prioritise those interests over digital security. And I think we've all got a right to expect that our digital systems will remain secure, and encryption is an important part of that.
And do you think that argument, that citizens' rights to all those modalities you mentioned there, all those uses and functions you mentioned there, do you think that got a good hearing in the parliamentary committee? There was a significant argument about this and campaign that you led against this.
There was, and I think a lot of people, for example, in the Labor Party particularly, were quite disturbed about this legislation and mentioned that after the bill was passed. And that's partly why we're back in front of the Parliamentary Committee for a further review. But I'm not convinced that some of the members, particularly of the Coalition, fully appreciate the risks that they're putting us and exposing us to in passing legislation like this, and haven't thought through the calculus in terms of rights versus responsibilities when it comes to giving powers to security agencies.
Okay.
And I think people also feel alarmed that the recent raids on journalists, when journalists are reporting on misconduct by Australian Defence Force personnel and potential further powers for spy agencies, when that's what these powers are being used for, I think there's a lot of concern amongst the public that further powers for law enforcement won't be used to protect us from those very serious risks of terrorism and other serious offences, but might actually be used for agencies to protect their own interests. And that's a big problem for our democracy.
Do you think last week's media raids by the AFP and the outcry that's ensued will have an impact on this debate, will have an impact on your campaign?
I like to think so. I think a lot of people actually think that it's a real problem that the balance of power is in favour of agencies over people's rights, and these latest raids on journalists exemplify that. But even during this debate around the encryption bill at the end of last year, we recruited 15,000 people to make a submission on this bill. We're constantly told people don't care about their privacy, that they don't understand encryption because it's too technical. But I don't think that's right. I think if you can have a conversation with the public about it and they're engaged on these topics, it's a matter of forcing our politicians to listen to them.
You're listening to Breakfast. It's 17 to 7. Our guest is Lizzie O'Shea. She's a board member with Digital Rights Watch. And later today, Australian time in Tunisia, she'll receive the 2019 Human Rights Hero Award. You mentioned earlier that Australia is the only member of the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance that doesn't have some kind of Bill of Rights, and that it effectively makes Australia a guinea pig in an international ideological battle. What do you mean by that?
Well, every other state in the Five Eyes has some form of rights protection. We're an outlier. We're the only Western nation without a Bill of Rights. And that means that when we pass laws, we don't have to do that balancing act to think about how laws might affect the rights of individuals. And that's a huge problem. What we saw with this encryption bill was that it was tabled, put before the public, and within a few short months it was passed by the Parliament. So agencies spoke to politicians, they convinced them of their case, and they pushed this through as quickly as possible. And we're trying to change that calculus. We're trying to say politicians need to think about people's rights and stop just prioritising the interests of agencies. And one of the ways that we can do that is by having a system of law that respects rights. And I think we're well overdue for a Bill of Rights in Australia for particularly this reason. It would force politicians to think about rights and to think about lawmaking in the context of rights, which we don't have. We know that the Five Eyes intelligence agencies have been talking about passing anti-encryption legislation for years, and they've tried it in different ways, but Australia was the perfect testing ground. So we knew that this was coming, but we were never really shown a draft with any sufficient time to discuss it properly. And we think that's a problem.
And just finally and briefly, I mean, what was unusual about this campaign was that it brought on board the digital experts, the privacy groups and the business groups. And there were groups like Atlassian, there were groups like Google and Twitter and Amazon. And I suppose the business case is clear that those companies, particularly the global tech companies, would be worried about a precedent being set here, because it might mean that products, especially Australian companies, products, if a vulnerability is created, they won't be able to sell them overseas.
Absolutely. I think many rights activists are often critics of large tech companies for failing to take privacy seriously. And that's, I think, often very reasonable criticism. But on this front, we were united because we understood that the technological aspects of these bills, of these laws, were really appalling.
But also because they could affect the business case of the companies.
Absolutely. I think the companies thought a lot about what the interests of their customers were, and that's the basis on which they came to the table.
Okay.
But you're absolutely right. The local industry is put at risk, absolutely, by these laws, because people who purchase Australian technological products can't be guaranteed of their security or safety, because they won't know what's in them. They won't know if the Australian government has tampered with them, which is a huge problem.
Lizzie O'Shea, thank you very much for joining us. And again, congratulations.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lizzie O'Shea, a board member of Digital Rights Watch, and later today in Tunisia, she'll receive the 2019 Human Rights Hero Award presented by the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet. And apologies for that Tunisian phone line.